Artificial intelligence has had a lot of us bracing for gloom and doom, but are we jumping the gun? A new report says, don't worry. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young, so don't worry, be happy.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. With some backup music from Jimmy, Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or built-in pocket. And they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter CLNS. By the way, if you were listening, Jimmy was whistling in the background. He's in a good mood today.
Well, yeah. Yes, because I don't have a headache.
Oh, well, there we go.
And Bobby McFerrin's song gets
don't
in
worry.
Your head.
Yeah, once that, you know, that's called an earworm. Did you know that?
I didn't know
that's
that.
That's a term. You can Google it after
like
this podcast.
That,
yeah, earworm means you get a tune in your ear or your head,
and you can't shake it.
And so I will be thinking about Don't Worry, Be Happy all day.
And it's such a great song,
It is. I try to
live by
that.
It got overplayed.
Yeah.
You know, and now you never hear it.
No, you don't.
Until I just heard it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Man versus machine, Jimmy. Artificial intelligence, good thing, bad thing.
You're really putting me on the spot. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. How's that for playing
in
the fence?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Down the Middle.
Sure. Yeah, right, for sure.
Well, on this
left side of Down the Middle.
Yeah, there you go.
That being said, look, we as humans are the ones who've created the codes to create artificial intelligence.
Right, yes.
So we have only ourselves.
You haven't, and I haven't.
Humans.
Because we don't know anything about that.
No.
But humans have.
Have you ever seen code, by the way?
Well, you know,
you punch on something and then up comes all this gobbledygook stuff.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Although
I did learn a piece of code one time. Like, and I forgot what it was. Like, there was you could put these kinds of things in and something would happen.
Front slash, it was
a little bit more than that. It had like,
parentheses,
I called someone up
brackets.
And I said, I'm having a problem with this. And they go, oh yeah, just cut and type this or cut and paste this and take that and put it here and it will correct. It was on a website.
Yeah.
You know, and something was showing up and they said, oh no, just J hyper this, high, that, blah, blah. And it worked. I felt like a coder.
There you go. And it's a very secret code.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I mean, artificial intelligence, look, we aren't going to stop technology, Dan.
No, we're not.
We're not. And it's
not even with a wall.
Certainly not at our age.
Not even with a wall.
No wall. No, there'll be no wall talk.
No wall talk.
And no matter how bad they want it, we're just not going to give it to you. That being said, artificial intelligence. Let's talk about the artificial part of it.
Yes.
That's because it is created by something else in a lab.
Right.
Or in a code room.
Yeah, but then this thing, once it's created, begins to learn.
Right.
And starts doing things. And in the journalism field, it's already happening. It happened, I think it started with sports where it's really easy to kind of let the AI go loose and it can, you know, find scores and it can put together here's who won, here's who lost. You know, it can put together stats, right? Because that doesn't require the emotional component. It's not to say that's the only thing it can do, but that's kind of where we saw it enter the workplace.
It's all because of fantasy sports, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because fantasy sports, I think, is the doom and gloom for all sports. You're not rooting for laundry anymore.
No, you're rooting for the numbers.
You're rooting for the team that you picked
from
everybody's roster because you care about winning money.
Right, but you don't care about the teams. You care about the numbers.
No, the team you put together.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. And you care about that more than your hometown team,
right,
which I think has really ruined a lot of sports. I really do.
Unless you're like me and you never really cared about hometown. I can't say that. No,
I care
about my hometown teams. I do. I care so dearly.
Yes.
Anyway, the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers, they were doing this study. And again, they wanted to look at, because we hear every time that new technology comes along, we get concerned that that's going to displace people.
And it has in the media world too.
It has. Every time
robotic cameras.
There used to be someone behind each one of those cameras in the studio. And now many stations, it's a robot. It's one person doing the job of three or four with a joystick.
Right. Now, you know, New England Cable News was one of the first newsrooms in this New England area to have robotic cameras.
Oh, really?
Well, because we're a non-union shop. So think about that.
Yeah.
And you're a startup in the media.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get one person to do four or five jobs.
Right.
So you had that robotic camera operator. And a couple of funny things have happened with robotic cameras.
Oh, the cameras take off.
The cameras
take
off.
Yes. I had a camera come after me one time and then pan up to the sky kind of thing.
And Mike Adams, that's exactly what happens. Yeah. Mike Adams made America's Funniest Videos for years because they had a rogue robotic camera. And it was a riot. And they're playing, you know, the dive sound from the submarines. You
right,
know,
that's
dive,
what goes up.
Warning, 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 you know, warning Will Robinson. And it was crazy because, you know, but what's really crazy is when you're a solo anchor on a talk show on a Saturday night, and there's no one in the studio but you and the robot.
And the robot, yeah.
And you're talking to them.
Yeah.
Now, Dan, I know you're adept at talking to yourself on a podcast.
I've heard that, okay? I did that recently.
It's a skill, but still, it's a little odd that there aren't humans in the newsroom or in that studio with you. And, of course, I'm always turning to the control room, which is behind a wall.
Right.
So I'm either talking to nobody behind the robotic camera or I'm talking to a wall.
A wall. Yeah, well.
And I managed to get paid for that for a little while. So what the hell, right?
Wall talk.
Wall talk.
So what is interesting is that they decided to probe a little deeper and find out if, in fact, because we know that technology often interrupts the employment cycle of a lot of news organizations, they want to find out, you know, what is the power of AI in terms of displacing humans. And so they looked at five publishers from around the world that are using automated reporting. So there are things like the Heliograph and others which are being used by the likes of the Washington Post and others to incorporate AI in terms of data gathering or putting together kind of wire stories, that kind of thing. So they looked at them to find out, you know, if in fact they are, you know, they are doing things that humans should be doing and therefore humans aren't needed anymore. And they came to the conclusion that they're not, that what is happening is that humans are being aided by artificial intelligence. So humans put together a template, artificial intelligence plugs things in. You do more, you write the story and graphics are created. You're looking for additional content or other supporting material to put within it, and AI can help you gather that. So they, at least for the time being, the inference from this kind of report here is that it is helping the reporter to be better and more efficient, not taking the reporter's job.
Well, let's hope not. But I think that it's just a matter of time. Don't we have avatars now delivering the news online?
We did something about that, right?
Yeah.
There was, I think it was in China.
Yeah,
there was in China. They had news anchors. They had a news anchor that was mimicked or, you know, patterned after a real person, right?
Right.
I think you're going to, no doubt you will see it, but I think they wanted to look specifically at those news organizations that already have a system, an AI system, artificial intelligence system, that they are using, and they really wanted to look very closely at how they're using it. And at least in these early stages, it seems to be, and I'm sure we'll make that leap and it will push all reporters out the door ultimately. But they're saying
let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Will people that are watching those kinds of news being delivered, will they hate the media like they hate them now?
You
take the human element out of it. Are you going to hate?
That's a good question.
Because especially if it's artificial intelligence,
right,
they're not going to have the nonverbal communication that a human might have, or the personal biases.
Or maybe they will because they're learning, right? That's
but
the
they're
thing
learning
about
from something.
Yeah,
right.
They're learning from whatever it is, whatever gets
programmed.
They are self-programming, if you will. You know, they. I remember I spoke to someone a number of years ago who was one of the leaders in this area of artificial intelligence, and he was talking about how you put in from in order to get this AI to start thinking along certain lines, you have to input a lot of different data points, if you will, and then it uses that. And as real stuff is fed into it over time, it continues to learn certain patterns and habits. So that, I think, is the scary part about it. But you bring up a very important point, and that is, you know, will the public, if they have no human beings to dislike, will they take out their anger the way they have lately on machines?
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe they pretty soon they'll start saying they're, you know, liberal AI machines.
Or
those conservative.
Blame it on the liberals again, Dan.
Or better yet, and we've heard this now already, is that a lot of people blame the engineers, the liberal engineers behind the scenes, who designed this technology, that they input things that make the algorithms seek out either, you know, negative information from one side versus positive information on the other. So, yeah, they probably will say, oh, well, that's a liberal AI.
Yeah. Have you ever talked politics with a technician AI? Or an engineer?
No, I haven't.
I just want to say that.
Why would I do that?
And let me tell you, we both respect.
Some of my best friends are engineers.
We are lost without engineers and technicians.
Yes,
and
we
technos.
Are.
We are.
Yes, we couldn't be
that
talking to you right
said,
now.
That being said, have you ever talked to them?
Yes, we
all have.
Yeah,
we've had
conversations. Yes, of course we have.
About politics? Would you search out a chief engineer of a TV studio to talk about politics? No.
Well, you know,
are they the ones that are feeding the information into the... these robots?
Right, are they?
I don't know.
Look, that's sort of our bias in thinking that the engineers, you know, can't have a cogent, logical discussion about politics. There are many great men and women out there working in the engineering field who can talk circles around some people when it comes to politics and foreign affairs and so forth. But I think in general, when they are doing their engineering thing, when programmers are doing their programming thing, I gather that they are focusing on that, not how can I make the world more liberal or conservative. Having said all of that, you and I have had a lot of conversations about how personal human
bias
seeps its way into things.
Everything.
Into everything. And so it may be like, oh, I like this code because of where I come from, whatever I have, what I bring to the table. And that piece of code then skews everything in one direction. That probably does happen. Does someone intentionally? You can probably find examples out there, but I don't think that's what's driving these programmers.
No, and I think what you're going to find, again, is that the future is going to be more influenced by these types of elements than the human. But what we're, you know, Dan, if these artificial intelligent avatars are reporting facts in a totally objective manner.
Yeah.
You know that following whatever that is, there'll be a human element talk show where people will be talking about what the avatar reported.
Right. Exactly.
And now you'll get the human bias from those talk shows.
Right.
So aren't we right back where we began? And
yes.
Why do we
right
need
back.
To cut people's jobs?
We're right back to where we began.
We are. That's right.
Yeah. I am
Thank
an
you,
avatar
Will Robinson. Speaking. Danger, Mr. Robinson. Yes. Danger, Robinson.
I do not skew stories in any one direction. I just spew facts.
Yes.
Facts are my friends.
And I'm bored. I'm going to sleep now. I need the human element
to keep
me going.
That would be bad for ratings.
Right.
If you like the human element, then we hope you like this episode too. Let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And send us your questions or comments to info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.